at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to another exciting edition of the KMOX Home Improvement Show, where we tackle all your burning questions about making your house your home. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to just kind of guide you through this maze of home improvement challenges. Whether you're wondering about the best paint colors for your living room, or you want to fix a leaky faucet that's been driving you crazy, or maybe you're getting ready to embark on a big full-scale renovation project, whatever you need, we've got you covered, and we've got you covered a little bit more today. So remember, this show is all about you, so pick up the phone and dial 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me. We can get your questions answered here live on the air. Let's turn your house into the home of your dreams together. Remember, this is my time. I get to try and make a positive difference in everybody's lives, homes, everything you're trying to get out there. Make your place what you want it to be. We can help you out. Any question you have, again, don't hesitate to call. We got two full hours today, 314-436-7900. So I got a couple things I want to start out with right away is we do have Cardinals coming in this afternoon around the 12 o'clock hour. But hey, if you're a Cards fan, that's great news for you. If you're a Home Improvement Show fan, you can switch over to 97.1 FM and you will get to the second hour of the Home Improvement Show. So if you're having trouble getting in, if your best time is the second hour to call in and have a question, jump over to 97.1 FM. You can finish out that Home Improvement Show. Then you can jump back again, get your Cards fixed, and get everything you need. So again, 314-436-7900 is how you'll get to me. And you will also get to my special guest that I have today, a surprise guest even to me. So Scott Mosby jumped in this morning and said, hey, I'm in town. And was wondering if I could just stop in and maybe have some fun and reminisce a little bit on KMOX with me and with the listeners and maybe some questions and answers and conversations. So I want to welcome Scott Mosby into the show today with me.
Well, good morning, Rich and listeners. It's good to be back and nice to see you as well, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. No, it's great to see you too. And I love that we always both kind of say the same thing. I guess I probably got it mainly from you. It's like, well, good to be seen.
Good to be seen and not viewed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and this is a great opportunity that, to have you on and in between some calls and questions and everything St. Louis has going on, we could get into some of the outside industry burning questions, topics, things happening. I always like to have a conversation with you about just the business end of what Mosby does and how we've developed this and why, and just keeping employees a long time and all the different thing and the culture and you know, the why behind all of that is a great thing to get into to have people understand. It's something that I needed to understand from day one, even coming from the industry and going, okay, what do you want to do? Why? What? Yeah. And then later being like, that's just a great idea. Like, that really works really, really well. So I'd love to get into some of all of that with you a little bit in the next couple hours. So you're going to stick around for the whole show, right?
Yes, sir. I'm yours.
Awesome. I absolutely love it. So we can also be Roberts, too, because we got Robert on the line, has a question for us. So let's jump on the phone here. And Robert, can you hear us? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm looking for a contractor. I bought a house that someone started renovating, and they smashed out all of the ceilings, and I'm looking for someone to come in to do the drywall work. But most of the contractors, oh, yeah, you know, they come over, they give you a bid, and they never come back.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for a good contractor that is going to be reliable, come in, get the work done, so I can move forward.
Well, yeah, and I think, Robert, in this time and day and age and the labor shortage and everything going on, unfortunately, it's made it hard for almost all of us to be really, really reliable, or we're timed out pretty far, where the reliable ones are explaining to you why it's so far out because of how everything is and the workforce and all of that. Scott, what do you think about Robert's issue here?
Well, the world is facing Robert's issue, and it's a shortage of people, whether you go to a restaurant for servers, in the construction business for carpenters, painters, drywallers, all of that. So I would say, Robert, Rich and I are in the same shoes you are, just trying to get enough workforce to deliver the demand, and it's not going to change for the next 10 years. It is what it is worldwide. So even if all of the immigration, the gates were flown open, it still wouldn't fix our workforce problems. It's just not in the demographics of any country all around the United States. And I'm a student of this. And
yeah.
I apologize for our industry. That's inexcusable. If can't handle it, just say, I'm sorry, Robert, we don't have capacity to do this, or we're not built for this, or whatever. But frankly, I'd like it to be different. We strive to be different.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I could tell you is we do have a list of people at Mosby Building Arts that we work with. So at our company, we do some drywall, and we have contractors, trade partners that we use to do drywall when it's a bigger project. We're not a drywall company, but we have painters and people that can do that for us when we do a small bathroom thing like that. But if you want to call into our office and ask for a recommendation of a drywall contractor, that I just need someone good and reliable, they can give you a name or two and numbers of people that we would use. It's no guarantee that they won't be really far out, or that they don't have enough workers also, but hopefully they'll at least be good enough and open and honest enough to say, yeah, I look at it, this is what it's going to cost, but it's something I literally can't do for 3 or 4 months. And then you kind of know what you're up against.
I'm good with, you know, giving me a timeline of when you can start.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a bid and then
don't never return. Yeah.
It's like, come on already. What's the problem?
Yeah. No, it's... totally get that, and it is very hard, and it's a shame that there's so much of that, and it's such a big topic in our industry that's what's happening too often to everybody. But so, yeah, I'd say call our office at the phone number there is 314-909-1800, and we can just say you called into the radio show, and Rich said call in and ask for a drywall trade partner that we use as a recommendation, and they should be able to get a number to you. If not, they'll get to one of us, and we'll get a number to you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. I appreciate you calling in. So, and speaking of calling in, if Steve and we got a second Robert here on the line can hold through a quick break, we got to get into our first break of the show here, but we'll do that. We'll get to their calls as soon as we return.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
Hey, right, St. Louis, we are back. Got a lot going on for you today. Have my special guest, owner, operator, head cook, and bottle washer of Mosby Building Arts, Scott Mosby, with me today. He can help answer some of these questions, have some great conversations with us. And speaking of that, you can find us here. We've got all the way till, we got 2 hour show today for you, all the way to 1 o'clock. So 314-436-7900 is where you will find me and Scott today. And we've got Steve on the line, as promised. Let's get straight to Steve and see what's going on. Steve, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for your show. It's a great program. Always enjoyed it. Glad to see Scott back.
Yeah.
I have a pretty, I think, straightforward question. I bought a house over here in Fairview Heights about 5 years ago. It was totally remodeled, redone. It's a 2,500-square-foot ranch with a had a new roof, new flooring, new indoor layout, et cetera. They added a 280-square-foot wooden deck, which was really beautiful 6 years ago. And my wife and I have been taking care of it and, you know, sanding it and staying it every couple years. But now it's hitting its 6 year and things are starting to warp. And we're thinking about replacing it with one of these new composite materials. And I just wanted your advice on whether that's a good way to go. It's fairly expensive, and I understand it might add value to your house as well. I know as we're getting into our 70s now, we're not looking forward to restaining and sanding every 2 or 3 years.
So what are
your thoughts on that?
Well, so my thoughts are definitely that it's a good decision and it's a good way to go. There's some things to think about when switching those products to a composite or a PVC, that sort of deck board. There's things to know about the framing when you change from wood to that composite material. So the composite material won't span a distance between the framing boards the same as the wood decks will. So if your frame, and if you want to keep the frame because it's not that old and the frame is more than likely probably in fairly good shape, it's just a matter of trying to examine it and find out, will it work with these new materials? So
okay,
the frame will, if you're 16 inches on center on your floor joist, you'll be fine with the composite. If you go straight across with the new deck boards and you don't try and put them on a diagonal. If you put them on a diagonal and they're spanning further than that 16 going across it at a 45-degree angle, you'll need to reframe that to where it's 12 inches on center. And on your stairs, that's another tricky spot because on the stairs, they do recommend that it's 12 inches on center with your stair stringers. And with wood, you either have 16 inches on center or possibly 24 inches on center because wood will span pretty far if it's an inch and a half thick. So you may need to rebuild your stair stringers or add stair stringers to put that composite material onto the steps. So it's really checking with the manufacturer, read, see what they recommend for the framing and make sure that your framing will work and with that new material. And another thing to really check and understand on that framing too is the thicker wood will kind of span up and down. It doesn't look as wavy. When you get a thinner composite board, if your frame is wavy, if one floor joist is a little bit higher than the other, you want to check that too. Because you'll visually see it a lot more with a thinner composite board.
Well, those are all great things to think about. We've already had a contractor come out, someone that's reputable and local, and looked exactly at that and found an area where, in fact, there wasn't a six. It is basically the stringers are 16 inch on center. But there was one where they were slightly off as I got towards the end or something. I don't know what happened. And also, he did point out the stair situation where those need to be 12 inches on center, and that would need to be done. So I'm aware of those things. I got, I think, sounds like a good guy that knows what he's talking about. But just in general, it sounds like that way to go forward is not a bad investment.
Yes, it's definitely not a bad investment. And the other thing that I didn't even really mention is the cost of wood is different than it was 6 years ago. So we used to compare wood decks to composite decks, and we used to price them out a lot that way so that people could see the difference and then make a personal judgment on whether the maintenance of wood was worth the money that you save. Basically, in today's deck world, the price of the difference that you save isn't strong enough for almost anybody to want to do that maintenance, because the price point is so close together now. It's not like it's 40 or 50% less because it's wood. Now it's like 10% less because it's wood. So everybody's going to the composite because they just don't save enough to want to physically do all that maintenance.
Great. Well, that's great information, Scott. Thanks so much. And we were planning on going forward with it. I was just driving along and heard you were on the show. I thought I'd call in and say, oh, am I out of my mind or not? And what do I need to know? And you've answered my questions, as usual, really well. Good. So thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate your show.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Let's jump over to Robert and see what Robert has going on for us.
Well, hi, guys.
Hey, hi. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate you folks and have used you over many years. I've had a lot of valuable advice, so hoping to get some more. Looking to do a DIY project for a deck with a walkout and wanting to kind of put some type of a roof product underneath the deck so that I have a bit of a dry space for that walkout. The space we're looking to cover is 18 foot by 9 foot, and done a lot of research. The ledger board is 18 foot against the house with the joists coming perpendicular out from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at everything from the polycarbonate corrugated roofing, PVC, metal, and I've got a design in my mind where I'm going to run treated 2x4s that I intend to then screw up through. So it kind of almost doing the reverse of a roof on top, right? It's an underneath roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then building a slope by kind of blocking those 2x4s so the slope kind of goes down and away from the house. And I don't know, am I crazy or does that sound like something that is feasible? Any gotchas, recommendations, things like that?
So my point would be it's definitely fine. It's definitely feasible. When you get to the end, usually you're kind of dumping that into a gutter and takes it out with a downspout.
Correct.
So kind of where you end that with the support post,
mm-hmm.
trying to go around them could be a tricky part of how
that's
done.
My end would be actually a joist that it's a beam that the joists are sitting on. And so I'll have a gutter.
So
I'll
you'll stop at that.
Straight to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then that's
the
perfect. That sounds really good. Scott, what do you think?
Hey, Robert, any perforations, penetrations, like a ceiling fan, ceiling lights, those are holes in the boat.
have none? No electricity.
Oh, bless you.
Just a dry space. And as far as materials, the PVC, a lot more floppy, obviously, cheaper. Polycarbonate. I don't want to go with metal for a lot of reasons. The metal's only comes like 2 foot width, so what I've been looking at. And the polycarbonate and the PVC have 26 inch widths, which gives me overlap. I assume use like silicone to seal it between panels. Any suggestions there?
And fasteners too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fasteners. They make the fastener screws with like the rubber washer. That
mm-hmm.
you don't want to over tighten. You want to get them just right, but using those with the washer will help.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd run those fasteners in. I'd run those fasteners in, bottom them out on the rubber, back the rubber out, put a dab of silicone in, run it back in snug.
Yeah.
Just buy some insurance.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like an upside down use of the product, isn't it?
Perfectly, yes. And really, it just gets down to what do you want to look at, because, some products cost more than others, but it's really what kind of aesthetic do you want to experience from below? That's, You pay more, you get more. You pay less, you get less. But they all can work the way you're describing it.
Any comment on PVC that's floppier versus the polycarbonate is a little more rigid? Any benefits one or the other? Other than price?
Fibered reinforced, I don't know about the price, but fibered reinforced, oddly enough, the corrugated fiber reinforced polycarbonate is more rigid. It's less attractive, but it's more rigid. Yeah. So it depends what you're after.
Yeah, and it's a little easier on the install, but harder on the eyes, I guess.
Yeah, right. Looks like the top of
cheap.
A barn.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys, and just keep doing great work. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call, Robert. And we're going to get into our middle hour break here. So everybody, again, don't forget, this is all about you. Everything you need, we'd love to help you out. Plenty we could talk about, but we'd love to have conversations with you as well and answer your questions. 314-436-7900 is where you'll get to us, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, we are back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. Special guest today, Scott Mosby, with me live here, Rich Orris today, answering your questions, having some great conversations. Getting in, we got some pretty good questions coming in so far and more on the way here. But remember, this is about you. So give us a call. Let's hear what you're up against. 314-436-7900 finds us right here today. And speaking of finding us, we've got Greg on the line. Greg, hey, can you hear us?
Yeah, I sure can. How are you guys doing today?
Doing wonderful.
Terrific.
Great. Oh, thanks for calling in. What do you got going on?
Well, my basement smells kind of musty, and so I was trying to figure out where the water was coming from. And the one thing I noticed is that the joint between my driveway and foundation, it's not exactly sealed perfectly. And the house is from 1914, and it seems like that transition at one point was done with mortar. And so I guess I was thinking, do I need to clean out all of that mortar, put some backer rod, and then what kind of caulk do you recommend? And is it really that important to kind of seal that joint between the driveway and the foundation?
Greg, so it is that important to seal that up for a couple reasons. It may or may not be what's adding to or causing moisture and smell and stuff in the basement, but it's also putting water underneath that driveway, which in turn is going to eventually start to kind of settle that down, and the base compacts, and the more water gets in there, that driveway might start sinking, and then you'll need replacement or mud jacking or something like that. So really, my theory is, and I learned most of this here at Mosby and from Scott Mosby and everything, is if you can take a minimum of a 10-foot area around your foundation, all four sides, not even just the driveway, but the driveway also, and especially because you've got good runoff, is run that water away from the foundation, and you'll just have a healthier foundation, less getting down around it. Sump pump works a lot less. All those things are better off if you can do it on the sides of the home with the dirt. Gutter downspouts getting away from the home. Everything around the home is just a great idea to do that. So caulking that backer rod, get it in there real good. Caulk it with a driveway urethane type caulk would run that water down and away from the home. So Scott, you got anything to add to that?
Well, Greg, the age of your house, 1914, back in that time, the sanitary sewers and the stormwater runoff were the same. So your downspouts were actually dumping into clay pipe tiles, they call them, but 2-foot sections, and they just pressed together end to end without a real waterproof joint.
Okay.
So don't assume it's only this driveway.
Yeah.
1914, we're now 110 years past that. The stuff underground is about nearing the end of its life. So you may have, everything may be working just fine, except all the pipes that are 10 feet down below soil. You know, so beware.
Okay.
Just keep your eyes open, your sniffer open too, because you could have everything working fine, but every time it rains, and we've had just a few of those around here recently. So
yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, you've been injecting soil or water into that soil regularly, so be aware that you may be pumping that water down around that foundation every time it rains.
Okay.
Yep. And something I would add, Greg, is just moisture underground, moisture vapor coming through like the basement floor can add to this stuff. So what I would also recommend is if you take a piece of clear plastic and maybe like 2 foot by 2 foot size, and you tape that to your basement floor on the actual concrete, and leave it there and check it periodically and see if you get droplets of water between the concrete on that plastic. And if you do, it definitely means that you've got a lot of moisture underneath that concrete and you've got moisture vapor just coming through it. So sometimes you could need a sump pump or some kind of system to take water away, and it you don't realize it because it's not necessarily coming up onto the floor. It's just coming through it as vapor.
Sure. Okay.
So that's try that
idea.
Out.
Thank you.
See if you get excess moisture that way.
Okay. Well, I appreciate both of you very much. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's jump to Linda real quick and see what Linda has going on. Oh, Lydia, I'm sorry. Got to check my eyes, Lydia. How you doing? Sorry about that.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I'm fine, thank you. And I have a question about squeaky floors.
Okay.
And they are not, they are in that like hallway by the bed side. Multiple places. What is the reason and what can we do?
Well, squeaky floors, wood floors, Lydia, in the hallway and bedside is where the heavy traffic has been. So every morning you get up, swing the feet over the side, compress the framing and those wood boards as well. So you're exercising, movies, wiggling those every day. So that's why those particular places are more common than others. It's hard to take squeaks out of old hardwood floors because they shrink and they expand. So this time of year, we're dehumidifying the house with an air conditioner. So even though we've got very, very high humidity, you'd think those boards should be pretty fat and tight. And not so when you cool it off at, you know, and the hotter the temperature gets, the more the AC runs and the drier that air gets inside your house.
Yeah.
So I don't have any real good lessons for you other than that's the why.
Yeah, somewhere I read that the people get the, I don't know what they put nails or screws or something like that or no.
Well, careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Yeah. So getting that wood attached better sometimes can help that situation. It's when you have a hardwood floor, that's difficult to do because you'll see the screws, the nails, you got to try and fill them. It can become an eyesore from the top surface. Yeah. You can try and do it from underneath if the basement's unfinished. And they make these like brackets that mount to the floor joist that'll screw to the subfloor and kind of tighten and pull that subfloor down. There's all kinds of things like products like that out there that you can find to try. It's a hit or miss type of thing. And I've heard people say they just take baby powder and put it all over the floor, sweep it in, let it get in the cracks of the hardwood. And that temporarily even helps sometimes because it's the wood rubbing that you're hearing.
Yeah.
So if you can minimize that wood rubbing sound, and it's finding where that rubbing is. It could be between the floor joist and the subfloor. With hardwood floors, a lot of times it's between the hardwood and the actual wood floor itself and the subfloor. I've had them. I've had a couple of them where it was the wall. So the wall, your hallway's 3 foot wide. You've got a wall on each side. That wall is nailed down to the subfloor and to the floor joist. Well, when that lets go, I've had it where the floor's moving and you're hearing the nail from the wall move. We had to get inside the wall and reattach it at the wall. That, you want to talk about a hard one to find. So yeah. It's a hit or miss kind of test things out and try things to try and make it better.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the bedroom, it's carpeted.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the bedroom, you can pull the carpet back and you can put screws through into the from the subfloor to the floor joist and tighten those areas up. They do make screws for that that you can go through the carpet and then like the head breaks off. I've never really done a lot of that myself. I kind of worry about hurting the carpet with those.
Yeah.
But if you change the carpet and then in the hallway, that's a lot of times why you see people cover hardwood up with carpet, because then in the hallway what they do is they put about 1,000 screws in through everything and they carpet over top of it.
Yeah.
And that helps.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
Oh, you're very welcome, Lydia. And that's a great question and a common thing that we have in older homes here and newer homes in St. Louis. So, hey, we're going to get into our last break of this hour, but we've got more before the hour and after the break, and then a whole nother hour after that. Don't forget, in the second hour, when cards come on, you can switch over to 97.1 and follow the rest of the Home Improvement Show all the way to 1 o'clock, and you'll be able to find us any of those times, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, St. Louis, we are back having a good time here today. We've got a ton of great calls, questions, answers out there for everybody. Having a blast. Got Scott Mosby as a special surprise guest with me today from Mosby Building Arts. So, and from ex-host of this broadcast, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. So just having a blast with this today. And don't forget, we've got a whole nother hour after this segment. We'll be on 97.1 once the card starts, so you can switch over to that and continue with the Home Improvement Show. We'll answer your questions there also, 314-436-7900. That's how you find us, and just like Nick did, Nick got a hold of us. He's here. Nick, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, awesome. Thanks for calling. What's happening for you?
Well, I bought a stainable filler, wood filler, and I did exactly what it told me to do on the process, on the packaging, and it did not take the sealer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So now I'm at the point I have to camouflage with something because I'm not going to remove the boarding. So if you could give me an idea how I could camouflage that mess, because it's yellow in the decking, you know what color? It's a cedar deck.
Okay, so, yeah, it's on a cedar deck then. Scott, you have any tips on what to do for that?
Well, first off, how thick is that filler on your deck? I'm concerned about it lasting, period, on an exterior application of any kind of a filler.
Well, this was a Minwax product who stated that it was interior exterior, and so I went along with it because of the credibility of the company, which is Sherwin-Williams. And they don't have any idea what to do. It's like talking to my window.
Yeah.
All I can do is open or close it.
That's a misapplication. There is no filler suitable for a horizontal you know, under a puddle application, which any kind of board, even a composite, will have a little cupping from time to time. So the more you invest, the more frustrated you will get, whether now, a year, 2 years, it's just not going to last. That filler isn't an appropriate application. Interior, exterior means you can use it on a gutter board horizontally maybe, but nothing, no handrails, no flat decking, no step treads. I feel your pain.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Well, how can they advertise that and then they tell you the opposite after you? I mean, I've gone all the way to the top of the company.
Oh,
and it's like,
I hear you. You know, gilding the lily, running for office. There are a lot of big claims being made in the marketplace all the time. So that's a separate issue to what do we do now. My advice to you is pull that filler out, change your fasteners if necessary to flush them up, or find something that has a cap that composite decks have fasteners you can drive down an eighth of an inch below surface, drive a cap in there, and similar material, something like that. But rethink your plan. This boat isn't going to float.
Yeah, or just change that deck board.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Because we were talking earlier about the cost of wood being so expensive, mm-hmm. and the difference between changing when you want to change the whole deck to composite being not so much more expensive, that that's kind of where everybody's going these days. But if you're talking about one or two boards on a giant deck, that's a lot less than changing the whole deck. So
yeah,
I'd say change the board, do something like Scott's talking about. Because to me too, if they're saying that filler is stainable, then what they're saying is they've tried to make that filler somewhat porous. Because
right.
it's got to take the stain. That's how the stain,
right.
it doesn't sit on top. And a good filler isn't really going to be very porous, especially for an exterior application.
Yeah.
It's more like paint over it, not stain over it. So I don't have any better answer for you there on how they could say it would work in outdoors and stainable. But
mm-hmm.
it's a hard thing to make happen and make it last. They could have made that claim and said, well, yeah, we did it, and it lasted a one-year workmanship warranty, but most people aren't happy with just 1 year of their effort.
Nick, that we get stuck in that all the time, where we will use products like that have a promise, and we, with the Mosby warranty, we go back and change the decking, pull it out, whatever, because that's part of the added value that we do as Mosby. But it doesn't, I mean, we get stuck the same way you do. So we do our due diligence to find out that. So we say no every now and again. It's like, that's the wrong application. We will not install that product like that because we can't give a warranty. And so that,
yep.
we're in the same boat you are, brother. Feel your pain.
Yep. Appreciate the call, the question, Nick. Good luck with it. I'd say change that deck board out and get something solid there. And we're going to get into our middle break, news break here. But hey, remember, you can get to us in the next hour, 314-436-7900. Rich Orris here with Scott Mosby today. We'll be back after the news.